The Unsearchable Riches of Christ, Part 5, by John Bunyan. This sermon was created with an artificial voice for the audiobook initiative on Sermon Audio. There may be mispronunciations or occasional repetitions. To report a mistake, please email us at info@sermonaudio.com and include the sermon ID or title of the message and the time at which the error occurs. We will do our best to get it corrected for future listeners. I have now done when I have spoken something by way of use unto you from what hath been said. And use first, is there such breadth and length and depth and height in God for us? And is there toward us love in Christ that passeth knowledge? Then this shows us not only the greatness of the majesty of the Father and the Son, but the great good will that is in their heart to them that receive their word. God has engaged the breadth and length and depth and height of the love, the wisdom, the power and truth that is in Himself for us. And Christ has loved us with a love that passeth knowledge. We may well say, who is like Thee, O Lord, among the gods? Or, as another prophet has it, who is a God like unto Thee, that pardoneth iniquity, and passeth by the transgression of the remnant of His heritage? He retaineth not His anger forever, because He delighteth in mercy. Yea, no words can sufficiently set forth the greatness of this love of God and His Son to us poor miserable sinners. You second, is there so great a heart for love towards us both in the Father and in the Son? Then let us be much in the study and search after the greatness of this love. This is the sweetest study that a man can devote himself unto, because it is the study of the love of God and of Christ to man. Studies that yield far less profit than this, how close are they pursued by some who have adapted themselves thereunto? Men do not use to count telling over of their money burdensome to them, nor yet the recounting of their grounds, their herds, and their flocks when they increase. Why? The study of the unsearchable love of God in Christ to man is better in itself and yields more sweetness to the soul of man than can 10,000 such things as but now are mentioned. I know the wise men of this world, of whom there are many, will say as to what I now press you unto, who can show us any good in it? But, Lord, lift Thou up the light of Thy countenance upon us. Thou hast put gladness in my heart, more than in the time that their corn and their wine increaseth. David also said that his meditation on the Lord should be sweet. Oh, there is in God and in His Son that kindness for the sons of men, that did they know it, they would like to retain the knowledge of it in their hearts. They would cry out as she did of old, set me as a seal upon thy heart, as a seal upon thine arm, for love is strong as death. Every part, crumb, grain, or scrap of this knowledge is to a Christian, as drops of honey are to sweet-palated children, worth the gathering up, worth the putting to the taste to be relished. Yea, David says of the word which is the ground of knowledge, it is sweeter than honey or the honeycomb. More, saith he, to be desired are they than gold, yea, than much fine gold, sweeter also than honey or the honeycomb. Why then do not Christians devote themselves to the meditation of this so heavenly, so goodly, so sweet, and so comfortable a thing, that yieldeth such advantage to the soul? The reason is, these things are talked of but not believed. Did men believe what they say when they speak so largely of the love of God and the love of Jesus Christ, they could not but meditate upon it. There are so many wonders in it, and men love to think of wonders. There is so much profit in it, and men love to think of that which yields them profit. But, as I said, the belief of things is wanting. Belief of a thing will have strong effects, whether the ground for it be true or false. As suppose one of you should, when you are at a neighbor's house, believe that your own house is on fire, whilst your children are fast asleep in bed, though indeed there were no such thing. I will appeal to any of you if this belief would not make notable work with and upon your hearts, Let a man believe he shall be damned, though afterwards it is evident he believed a lie. Yet what work did that belief make in that man's heart? Even so, and much more, the belief of heavenly things will work, because true and great and most good. Also, where they are indeed believed, their evidence is managed upon their spirit, by the power and glory of the Holy Ghost itself. Wherefore let us study these things. Use third, let us cast ourselves upon this love. No greater encouragement can be given us than what is in the text and about it. It is great, it is love that passeth knowledge. Men that are sensible of danger are glad when they hear of such helps upon which they may boldly venture for escape. Why such an help and relief? The text helpeth trembling and fearful consciences to. Fear and trembling as to misery hereafter can flow but from what we know, feel, or imagine. But the text speaks of a love that is beyond that we can know, feel, or imagine, even of a love that passeth knowledge, consequently of a love that goes beyond all these. Besides, the Apostle's conclusion upon this subject plainly makes it manifest that this meaning which I have put upon the text is the mind of the Holy Ghost. Now unto him, saith he, that is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that worketh in us, unto him be glory in the church by Christ Jesus, throughout all ages, world without end. Amen. What can be more plain? What can be more full? What can be more suitable to the most desponding spirit in any man? He can do more than thou knowest he will. He can do more than thou thinkest he can. What dost thou think? Why, I think, saith the sinner, that I am cast away. Well, but there are worse thoughts than these, therefore think again. Why, saith the sinner, I think that my sins are as many as the sins of all the world. Indeed, this is a very black thought, but there are worse thoughts than this, therefore prithee think again. Why, I think, saith the sinner, that God is not able to pardon all my sins. Ay, now thou hast thought indeed. For this thought makes thee look more like a devil than a man. And yet, because thou art a man and not a devil, see the condescension and the boundlessness of the love of thy God. He is able to do above all that we think. Couldst thou, sinner, if thou hadst been allowed, thyself express what thou wouldest have expressed, the greatness of the love thou wantest, with words that could have suited thee better? For 'tis not said he can do above what we think, meaning our thinking at present, but above all we can think, meaning above the worst and most soul-dejecting thoughts that we have at any time. Sometimes the dejected have worse thoughts than at other times they have. Well, take them at their worst times, at times when they think, and think, till they think themselves down into the very pangs of hell. Yet this word of the grace of God is above them, and shows that he can yet recover and save these miserable people. And now I am upon this subject, I will a little further walk and travel with the desponding ones, and will put a few words in their mouths for their help against temptations that may come upon them hereafter. For as Satan follows such now, with charges and applications of guilt, so he may follow them with interrogatories and appeals. For he can tell how by appeals as well as by charging of sin, to sink and drown the sinner whose soul he has leave to engage. Suppose therefore that some distressed man or woman should after this way be engaged, and Satan should with his interrogatories and appeals be busy with them to drive them to desperation, the text last mentioned, to say nothing of the subject of our discourse, yields plenty of help for the relief of such an one. Says Satan, dost thou not know that thou hast horribly sinned? Yes, says the soul, I do. Says Satan, dost thou not know that thou art one of the vilest in all the pack of professors? Yes, says the soul, I do, says Satan. Doth not thy conscience tell thee that thou art and hast been more base than any of thy fellows can imagine thee to be? Yes, says the soul, my conscience tells me so. Well, saith Satan, now will I come upon thee with my appeals. Art thou not a graceless wretch? Yes, hast thou an heart to be sorry for this wickedness? No, not as I should. And albeit, saith Satan, thou prayest sometimes, yet is not thy heart possessed with a belief that God will not regard thee? Yes, says the sinner. Why then despair, and go hang thyself, saith the devil. And now we are at the end of the thing designed and driven at by Satan. But what shall I now do, saith the sinner? I answer, take up the words of the text against him. Christ loves with a love that passeth knowledge, and answereth him farther, saying, Satan, though I cannot think that God loves me, though I cannot think that God will save me, yet I will not yield to thee, for God can do more than I think he can. And whereas thou appealest unto me, if whether when I pray, my heart is not possessed with unbelief that God will not regard me, that shall not sink me neither, for God can do abundantly above what I ask or think. Thus this text helpeth, where obstructions are put in against our believing, and thereby casting ourselves upon the love of God in Christ for salvation. And yet this is not all, for the text is yet more full. He is able to do abundantly more, yea, exceeding abundantly more, or above all that we ask or think. It is a text made up of words picked and packed together by the wisdom of God, picked and packed together on purpose for the succor and relief of the tempted, that they may, when in the midst of their distresses, cast themselves upon the Lord their God. He can do abundantly more than we ask. Oh, says the soul, that he would but do so much for me as I could ask him to do. How happy a man should I then be! Why, what wouldest thou ask for, sinner? You may be sure, says the soul, I would ask to be saved from my sins. I would ask for faith in and love to Christ. I would ask to be preserved in this evil world, and ask to be glorified with Christ in heaven. He that asketh of all this doth indeed ask for much, and for more than Satan would have him believe that God is able or willing to bestow upon him. But mark, the text doth not say that God is able to do all that we can ask or think, but that he is able to do above all, yea, abundantly above all, yea, exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think. What a text is this! What a God have we! God foresaw the sins of his people, and what work the devil would make with their hearts about them, and therefore to prevent their ruin by his temptation. He has thus largely, as you see, expressed his love by his word. Let us therefore, as has been bidden us, make this good use of this doctrine of grace, as to cast ourselves upon this love of God in the times of distress and temptation. Use forth, take heed of abusing this love. This exhortation seems needless, for love is such a thing that one would think none could find in their heart to abuse. But for all that, I am of opinion that there is nothing that is more abused among professors this day than is this love of God. There has of late more light about the love of Christ broke out than formerly. Every boy now can talk of the love of Christ. But this love of Christ has not been rightly applied by preachers, or else not rightly received by professors. For never was this grace of Christ so turned into lasciviousness as now. Now it is a practice among professors to learn to be vile of the profane. Yea, and to plead for that vileness. Nay, we will turn it the other way. Now it is so that the profane do learn to be vile of those that profess. They teach the wicked ones their ways, a thing that no good man should think on but with blushing cheeks. Jude speaketh of these people, and tells us that they, notwithstanding their profession, deny the only Lord God and our Savior Jesus Christ. They profess, saith Paul, that they know God, but in works they deny him, being abominable and disobedient, and unto every good work reprobate. But I say, let not this love of God and of Christ be abused. 'Tis unnatural to abuse love. To abuse love is a villainy condemned of all. Yea, to abuse love is the most inexcusable sin of all. It is next the sin of devils to abuse love, the love of God and of Christ. And what says the apostle? Because they received not the love of the truth, that they might be saved. Therefore God shall send them strong delusion, that they should believe a lie, that they all might be damned, who believe not the truth, but have pleasure in unrighteousness. And what can such an one say for himself in the judgment? That shall be charged with the abuse of love. Christians, deny yourselves, deny your lusts, deny the vanities of this present life, devote yourselves to God. Become lovers of God, lovers of His ways, and a people zealous of good works. Then shall you show one to another, and to all men, that you have not received the grace of God in vain. Renounce therefore the hidden things of dishonesty, walk not in craftiness, nor handle God's word deceitfully, but by manifestation of the truth commend yourselves to every man's conscience in the sight of God. Do this, I say, yea, and so endeavor such a closure with this love of God in Christ, as may graciously constrain you to do it, because when all proofs of the right receiving of this love of Christ shall be produced, none will be found of worth enough to justify the simplicity of our profession, but that which makes us zealous of good works. And what a thing will it be to be turned off at last, as one that abused the love of Christ, as one that presumed upon his lusts, this world and all manner of naughtiness, because the love of Christ to pardon sins was so great. What an unthinking, what a disingenuous one wilt thou be counted at that day. Yea, thou wilt be found to be the man that made a prey of love, that made a stalking horse of love, that made of love a slave to sin, the devil, and the world. And will not that be bad? Use fifth, is the love of God and of Christ so great? Let us then labor to improve it to the utmost for our advantage, against all the hindrances of faith. To what purpose else is it revealed, made mention of, and commended to us? We are environed with many enemies, and faith in the love of God and of Christ is our only succor and shelter. Wherefore our duty and wisdom and privilege is to improve this love for our own advantage. Improve it against daily infirmities, improve it against the wiles of the devil, improve it against the threats, rage, death, and destruction that the men of this world continually with their terror set before you. But how must that be done? Why, set this love and the safety that is in it before thine eyes, and behold it while these things make their assaults upon thee. These words, the faith of this, God loves me, will support thee in the midst of what dangers may assault thee. And this is that which is meant, when we are exhorted to rejoice in the Lord, to make our boast in the Lord, to triumph in Christ, and to set the Lord always before our face. For he that can do this thing steadfastly cannot be overcome. For in God there is more than can be in the world, either to help or hinder. Wherefore, if God be my helper, if God loves me, if Christ be my Redeemer, and has bestowed his love that passeth knowledge upon me, who can be against me? And if they be against me, what disadvantage reap I thereby, since even all this also worketh for my good? This is improving the love of God and of Christ for my advantage. The same course should Christians also take with the degrees of this love, even set it against all the degrees of danger. For here deep calleth unto deep. There cannot be wickedness and rage wrought up to such or such a degree, as of which it may be said there are not degrees in the love of God and of Christ to match it. Wherein Pharaoh dealt proudly against God's people, the Lord was above him, did match and overmatch him. He came up to him, and went beyond him, he collared with him, overcame him and cast him down. The Lord is a man of war, the Lord is his name. Pharaoh's chariots and his host hath he cast into the sea. They sank into the bottom as a stone. There is no striving against the Lord that hath loved us. There is none that strive against him can prosper. If the shields of the earth be the Lord's, then he can wield them for the safeguard of his body, the church. Or if they are become incapable of being made use of any longer in that way, and for such a thing can he not lay them aside and make himself new ones? Men can do after this manner, much more God. But again, if the miseries or afflictions which thou meetest with seem to thee to overflow and to go beyond measure, above measure, and so to be above strength, and begin to drive thee to despair of life, then thou hast also, in the love of God and of Christ, that which is above and that goes beyond all measure also, to wit, love unsearchable, unknown, and that can do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think. Now God hath set them one against the other, and 'twill be thy wisdom to do so too, for this is the way to improve this love. But though it be easy thus to admonish you to do, yet you shall find the practical part more difficult. Wherefore, here it may not be amiss, if I add to these another head of counsel. Counsel first, then, wouldest thou improve this love of God and of Christ to thy advantage? Why then thou must labor after the knowledge of it? This was it that the apostle prayed for these Ephesians, as was said before, and this is that thou must labor after, or else thy reading and my writing will as to thee be fruitless. Let me then say to thee, as David to his son Solomon, and thou, Solomon, my son, know thou the God of thy father. Empty notions of this love will do nothing but harm. Wherefore they are not empty notions that I press thee to rest in, but that thou labor after the knowledge of the favor of this good ointment, which the apostle calleth the favor of the knowledge of this Lord Jesus. Know it, until it becometh sweet or pleasant to thy soul, and then it will preserve and keep thee. Make this love of God and of Christ thine own, and not another's. Many there are that can talk largely of the love of God to Abraham, to David, to Peter, and Paul. But that is not the thing. Give not over until this love be made thine own, until thou find and feel it to run warm in thy heart by the shedding of it abroad there, by the Spirit that God hath given thee. Then thou wilt know it with an obliging and engaging knowledge. Yea, then thou wilt know it with a soul-strengthening and soul-encouraging knowledge. Counsel second, wouldest thou improve this love? Then set it against the love of all other things whatsoever, even until this love shall conquer thy soul from the love of them to itself. This is Christian. Do it therefore, and say, why should anything have my heart but God, but Christ? He loves me. He loves me with love that passeth knowledge. He loves me, and he shall have me. He loves me, and I will love him. His love stripped him of all for my sake. Lord, let my love strip me of all for thy sake. I am a son of love, an object of love, a monument of love, of free love, of distinguishing love, of peculiar love, and of love that passeth knowledge. And why should not I walk in love? In love to God, in love to men, in holy love, in love unfeigned. This is the way to improve the love of God for thy advantage, for the subduing of thy passions and for sanctifying of thy nature. 'Tis an odious thing to hear men of base lives talking of the love of God, of the death of Christ, and of the glorious grace that is presented unto sinners by the word of the truth of the gospel. Praise is comely for the upright, not for the profane. Therefore, let him speak of love that is taken with love, that is captivated with love, that is carried away with love. If this man speaks of it, his speaking signifies something. The powers and bands of love are upon him, and he shows to all that he knows what he is speaking of. But the very mentioning of love is in the mouth of the profane, like a parable in the mouth of fools, or as salt unsavory. Wherefore, Christian, improve this love of God as thou shouldest, and that will improve thee as thou wouldest. Wherefore, counsel third, if thou wouldest improve this love, keep thyself in it. Keep yourselves in the love of God. This text looks as if it favored the Socinians, but there is nothing of that in it. And so doth that, if ye keep my commandments, ye shall abide in my love, even as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love. The meaning then is this, that living a holy life is the way, after a man has believed unto justification, to keep himself in the savor and comfort of the love of God. And oh, that thou wouldest indeed so do, and that because if thou shall want the savor of it, thou will soon want tenderness to the commandment, which is the rule by which thou must walk, if thou wilt do good to thyself, or honor God in the world. To him that ordereth his conversation aright, will I show the salvation of God. He that would live a sweet, comfortable, joyful life, must live a very holy life. This is the way to improve this love to thyself indeed. Counsel fourth, to this end, you must take root and be grounded in love. That is, you must be well settled and established in this love, if indeed you would improve it. You must not be shaken as to the doctrine and grounds of it. These you must be well acquainted with, for he that is but a child in this doctrine is not capable as yet of falling in with these exhortations, for such waver and fear when tempted. And he that feareth is not made perfect in love, nor can he so improve it for himself and soul's good as he should. Counsel fifth, and lastly, keep to this end those grounds and evidences that God hath given you of your call to be partakers of this love with all clearness upon your hearts and in your minds. For he that wants a sight of them, or a proof that they are true and good, can take but little comfort in this love. There is a great mystery in the way of God with his people. He will justify them without their works. He will pardon them for his Son's sake. But they shall have but little comfort of what he hath done, doth, and will do. For them that are careless, carnal, and not holy in their lives. Nor shall they have their evidences for heaven at hand, nor out of doubt with them, yea, they shall walk without the Son, and have their comforts by bits and knocks. While others sit at their Father's table, have liberty to go into the wine cellar, rejoice at the sweet and pleasant face of their heavenly Father towards them, and know it shall go well with them at the end. Something now for a conclusion should be spoken to the carnal world, who have heard me tell of all this love. But what shall I say unto them, if I should speak to them, and they should not hear, or if I should testify unto them, and they should not believe, or entreat them, and they should scorn me? All will but aggravate and greaten their sin, and tend to their further condemnation. And therefore I shall leave the obstinate where I found him, and shall say to him that is willing to be saved, Sinner, thou hast the advantage of thy neighbor, not only because thou art willing to live, but because there are those that are willing thou shouldest, to wit, those unto whom the issues from death do belong, and they are the Father and the Son, to whom be glory with the blessed Spirit of grace, world without end. Amen. End of part 5.